Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. Troy Dooley here, and I tell you, it has been a phenomenal 24 hours. Any time that you can dig into one of Dondi's books, and I mean really dig in, you start to pull stuff from it. You start to realize what you need to do to change areas of your own life. And, you know, her new book that we're going through right now, Career Moves, How to Plan for Success, Create Value in Your Organization, and Make Yourself Indispensable No Matter Where You Work, is truly a book I think everyone should be reading. And I want to start off, you know, yesterday we talked about the 100-day plan, and I had the opportunity to counsel with a couple. They're an individual we're doing some business consulting with, and it was phenomenal because they really resonated with the 100-day challenge. And I want to start off today in reading the story of Zoe, because this just fills right in. This chapter is called Make Your Moves Count, Making a Real Difference in Real Time. It says Zoe hit the ground running in her 100-day audition. It consisted of three client care phases: the analysis to find the gaps, the goals to fill them, and action steps to achieve the target. After meeting with Allison several times, the plan was approved, and Allison asked her to present it at the next team meeting. Now that right there, let's stop a minute. That's exciting. You know, you're fresh, you're new on the team, you're trying to build up, you're trying to support the team, you've bought in, and you're getting ready to present that first plan of action. Zoe prepared a simple one-page outline and made a copy of each team for each team member. The real presentation, she knew, wasn't the handout. It would be the story she would tell. This is incredible, Zoe thought, as she planned for her speaking points. Just a few weeks ago, I was arranging chairs and ordering sandwiches for a meeting like this. Tomorrow, I'm on the agenda. The next morning, Zoe arrived early. It was still dark outside, but the agency was fully lit, and there were several cars in the lot. The team had been working around the clock on the new account. She knew they were under a great deal of pressure. She even heard a few stray comments here and there about biting off more than we could chew. Even Sarah, who was normally so outgoing and friendly, seemed consumed by the pace and the intensity of the project. As she gathered for the meeting, most of them rushed into the room at the last minute, finishing conversations and working on the run. Zoe admired their energy and focus. This really was an amazing group of people, and she was on the team. For at least 100 days, she reminded herself. Allison began the meeting asking for updates on the new account and reviewing the project outlines. And they went through all that, and then very cautiously, she said, Allison said, okay, I want Zoe to present her plan. The room was silent. Zoe said, since meeting all of you and learning about the new account, my challenge has been to find a way to support your efforts and add value. Support your efforts and add value. She's showing them it's for them. Allison asked me to share my plan, and with that, Zoe distributed her outline. Said, before I walk through this plan, I want to tell you about two experiences that have changed my perspective. The first experience happened in a park, and the second was on stage. Both of them taught me how to interact more effectively with challenges, obstacles, and opportunities. After that, Zoe went into her plan. I have found out I want a partner, and I want to find out how we can more effectively help the clients that you've been working with. As she finished her plans, this is very important. As she finished, the room was very quiet. Zoe wanted to think the group was captivated by her story, but it didn't feel like that. In the awkward silence, the kind that makes you want to look for the nearest door, she glanced across at Todd. And he actually had a snarl on his face. He was glaring at her, and she had no idea why. She looked at Sarah for reassurance, but Sarah wouldn't even meet her eye. Zoe felt like an intruder. Allison quickly rescued her. Thank you, Zoe, for the thought you have put into this plan. She looked around the room before continuing. And then she said, this team is stretched thin. I'm proud of the work you're doing, and I'm thrilled to have Zoe focusing on our long-term clients. We're reaching for more and holding on to what we have. Both strategies are critical, and I know I can count on every member of the team. She smiled reassuringly at Zoe before she dashed off to her next appointment. The meeting broke, and Zoe gathered her things. Apparently the honeymoon is over, she thought, as she walked back to her desk. Zoe wasn't sure what had just happened. It was as if she had run headlong into an invisible wall. How many of us have felt that way in the past? This is going to leave a mark, the sarcastic voice chirped inside her head. I feel like you're mining for flaws, Todd sharply interrupted her thoughts. You're looking for what we haven't done or should have done more differently. That concerns me, especially if you're giving our clients that impression. We have worked very hard to secure these accounts, and we've done a great job with them. Your background hardly qualifies you to oversee my work. Zoe was stunned. How in the world could he think her mission was to discover and highlight shortcomings? What gave Todd the impression she was monitoring his performance? When she found her voice, she started to say, No, that's not the message of this plan, but I think there are ways, too. She stopped short, remembering the improvisation game. This is an offer, she added, to accept and to respond. Taking a breath, Zoe gathered herself and said, Yes, you have done exceptional work, and the intent of this plan is to protect and build on what you have created. Now the offer was in Todd's court, and Zoe waited to see how he would respond, but Todd had not been to the impromptu workshop. He didn't recognize and accept the offer. Isn't this the great? Hey, how many times do you have, you go through life, and you're studying all these scripts for your sales, you study how to overcome the objections, and then somebody gives you one you don't expect. That's what happens here. Todd said, the accounts that you are playing with don't belong to you. With that, he turned and walked away. He called her the new girl. And what makes this so important is when you're doing a 100-day challenge, when you're out there looking at the team, when you're deciding that you're going to make a career move, you're going to do something different, you're going to have it in your mind, you're going to have it in your head, you're going to have it all put together, you're going to blueprint it out, just like Zoe did in this little story. But every one of us wear a label. We're the new kid on the block. We're the new girl. We're the novice, the apprentice. We don't have a college degree. We're just a blue-collar worker. Now think about this for a second. We wear those labels. Gandhi puts it this way. We are all wearing labels. They are known as our personal brand. If you've got a label you want to get rid of, you're going to have to learn how to change your personal brand. I've been teaching and training and counseling on personal branding long before it was vogue. What you become, how you want others to perceive you, how you want others to react and interact with you, all has to do with your brand. In my business, one of the things that I do is help customers, clients, businesses, whatever you want to call them, with their marketing strategies, especially their online marketing strategies, their social networking strategies, all that good stuff. And because of my background as a bounty hunter and the stuff that we went through to dig up information and find, tracking is something that's important to me, so we're constantly tracking and tracking and tracking those results. We've become known as a tracking organization. It's a brand that we carry. We also have a brand because we dig that deep, that when we do advocacy work and we praise companies or we criticize companies and we ask hard questions, people sometimes get offended. I've had situations just like Todd where people will say, what gives you the right to make any judgment calls? What gives you the right? They don't understand what we're doing. Dondi writes some stuff in here that I think is very proficient. She says it's wise to think carefully about the brand that you want to design. Think about it strategically in the long term. Build a brand that supports the future you. See, don't look at what you're wanting to accomplish just today. Focus on what you want to become. Where do you want to go? See, I know for a fact that I want to add value to other people's lives no matter what. I want to push people up and watch them reach their dreams. At the same time, I want to reach my own. It goes back to an old Zig Ziglar quote, that the more people you help, the more money you make. I believe that. Second thing Dondi writes, rebranding is absolutely possible. If you're not happy with the brand you have the power to change it. If you're not happy where you're at today, you can change that brand. You can change who you are. I've seen this happen. Matter of fact, in some of the advocacy work that we do that's outside of the network marketing in the business arena is in the sex trade industry and in child advocacy type stuff. And we have seen young girls who have been battered and bruised and torn, both sexually, emotionally, physically. Some of them women now have great advocacy and organizations of their own. Hookers for Jesus is one. The NICE organization, it's a young girl that was a suburban teenage girl when she first became a prostitute. Later went to Vegas. Later was beaten and battered and pimped. But one lone cop, a vice cop, saw something in this girl. Started sharing his faith with her, and little by little, she started realizing that there was something else to men besides just the abuse. She now runs a beautiful ministry to pull hookers off the streets. These are things that you can see. People rebrand themselves. You've got to do that. My mom's one type person. My mom was physically abused very severely growing up as a child. So bad that it eventually, the demons inside of her just caused her to break. She ended up in a mental institution. But I watched her pull herself up through faith to become the mother that I love and adore today instead of the mother that I remembered as a child. I watched my dad brand himself, rebrand himself, not just as a bad boy because he was one tough cookie, but in my eyes, he rebranded himself as a white knight because he loved my mom unconditionally through all of this. See, those are personal stories. There's all kinds of business stories, too. But I want to bring this down to a personal level. Branding is on a personal note. You've got to change yourself. Another thing that Donnie writes is the labels you carry are not just about you. People have preconceived notions based on circumstances. See, if you want to change, if you want people to see you as something else, then you've got to take care of it. Donnie writes in here, Robin Fisher Rofer gives us the objective for branding. Your goal, write this down if you've got pen and paper. This is powerful. Your goal will be to let your brand become the vehicle for your authentic self. I got blasted last night in a post where a guy, he came on and said, I'm going to quote facts and I'm going to call your character into question. And he made all these accusations about how I take money from companies under my daughter's name, yada, 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 yada. First of all, he should have used Dalton's name because that would have made sense. He's my business partner. But in any case, it's false. No facts whatsoever, but because he put the word fact in front of his allegation, I guess he thought that meant facts. Well, you know what? I looked at that and I thought, you know, the greatest thing about being a leader is that when you realize ethics are very important, whether it's business or personal, and you do your best to live by one rule, one standard, one set of ethics, it really doesn't matter what anybody else says. So I very calmly said, you know what? Just show the people in this community the proof. I'm willing to take your comment live, let your allegations go public. Please provide the evidence. See, when you live an authentic life, when you build an authentic brand, when you walk into a room like Zoe walked into that room, people will understand where you're coming from. Those that are new, the other new people on the team, the other people that have life experiences that cause them to distrust you, the people around them will say, she's authentic. He can be trusted. They know what they're talking about. It's never up to us, per se, to defend our ethics, our brand, our reputation. It's up to those that are around us because we have built a brand that is authentic. See, that's what I love about what Dondi's done. Dondi doesn't hide who she is. She doesn't tell you she has all the answers. Through life experiences, through successes and failures, as a wife, as a husband, as a wife, as a mother, as a businesswoman, as a lover, all these things combined makes Dondi Scamacci the actual author and the coach that she has become. She writes in here, branding is intentional and deliberate. It is designing the label you want. Strong brands are forged over time with consistency. It isn't about the web traffic on your site. It isn't about how many friends you have at Facebook. It's about the authenticity and the consistency over time that you have forged. In other words, branding is simply making those values, talents, and characteristics more valuable and accessible to others. See, Donnie put this in black and white. There's no way you can miss what she's saying. Now, one of the questions that's raised in this chapter is this. Is this a branding miracle? Can you just go out there and create? And the answer is no, you can't. We all carry baggage. We carry past stuff. You have to build your brand. Sometimes it's like a house. You know, I live on the beach. We have a beautiful half acre. One of these days, there's a real good possibility that we will bulldoze this house down that we've loved. And we will build a bigger house. We will build a different house. We will build a house where all of our kids will be accepted here, even if they couldn't afford their own home. Guess what? Your personal brand is like a house. If you don't like your brand today, you may decide you just want to add an addition. You need to add to it. At other times, you're going to bulldoze that whole thing down and you're going to start from scratch. And when you do that, you're also going to find that you bring in a new sphere of influence, new people around you, because the brand has changed, so has the people around you have changed. One of the things that Dondi does that I've never seen anybody else do, and I love it in her books, and up until today, we really haven't covered it in this, but she calls it public service announcements. And this is the aha moments that she wants you to get. And this one was very important to me. And the reason I don't use those a lot in the book, and I don't use it when we're doing the training shows, is because those are my little things that Dondi does that I keep, and I make you buy the book to get them. Because I love them. I put them on 3x5 cards. That's just what I do. But listen to this. In this public service announcement, I thought it was beautiful. Here's what she writes. Look for behaviors that will undermine your brand. What are you doing or not doing that dilutes the brand, scatters the message, and confuses your customers? Man, when that hit me today, I thought, wow, I can see in some of my writings in the past how that could confuse people. And instead of starting to go out there and write opinions in my blog post now, I've gone back to my original basis of just asking questions. See, I believe if you ask the right questions, people will dig inside themselves to find the answer, and you don't have to say a word. One of the other things that she writes in here is, learn how to present your value more effectively. And she uses a word that I cherish because of my days of reading and studying the Apple culture with Apple computers. She says, I've been evangelizing this point for years, and any of you that are Mac fans know that Mac never had salesmen. Apple always used evangelists to go out there and spread the message, so I love that word. But she writes, I've been evangelizing this point for years. Market yourself. Stop talking about what you do and start talking about the difference you make. Listen, if you don't take nothing else away from the show today, listen to this point. Market yourself. Stop talking about what you do and start talking about the difference you make. If you're a salesman right now, if you're a saleswoman, if you're in pharmaceutical sales, computer sales, car sales, network marketing sales, internet security sales, I don't care what it is. Stop talking about the what you do. You're your label. I'm an information security consultant. People don't care about that. Talk about the difference you make. I show people how to protect the identities of their customers and add value to their bottom line. It's that plain and simple. It's hard to do, but it's plain and simple. See, sell the value of your work. That's that, guys, look, girls, guys, moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, I don't give a rip. You need to buy the doggone book, Career Moves. Make, or How to Plan for Success, Create Value in Your Organization, and Make Yourself Indispensable. Let me tell you something, man, it's tough on me. You know, when I got up this morning and I saw that drastic, nasty post somebody made, I didn't want to take that public. You know, that alpha male came out in me, and I just wanted to go find them, rip their head off, spit down their throat. You want to know what I did instead? I didn't respond for an hour. Instead, I went with my accountability partner. We went and prayed for an hour, had a great meeting. He went to B&I. I came back home, and I responded. And in that response, I tried to be as gentle as I could. The little beta male came out. But then I get this beautiful email from my attorney saying, dude, you're a rock star. Thank you for being my client. Thank you for being my friend. Is there anything I can do to help you? Now, that made my day. I walked out of my office with a big smile on my face because I thought, man, that's my professional brand. My attorney saw that. I walked right into the eyes, the most beautiful little blue eyes on this blonde-haired little baby girl, and she said, Papa, I love you. See, my brand changed again. I added value to two different people's lives. In a matter of split seconds, they added value back to mine in two different ways. No matter if you're on the receiving end or the giving end, you have to add value. People have to know that you have value to add. Gandhi shares a personal story in here. She's just getting started, and she's out, and she's doing a radio interview. This is with Michael Ray Dresser, a great, great radio host. She thought the interview went great. The next day, he calls her. He said, you know, people really like you. You're just a likable, smart person. You have a great message. Now, you can honestly, you know, especially women, man, that's emotion. That makes them feel good. But here's what happened. It says the bubble was burst when he said, the people who need your book, the people you write for will not buy your book because they like you. They will buy your book because it is the solution they need and the answer they're searching for. Listen to this next point. Liking you is not the point. It's never the point. It isn't about you at all. I read that. I sat back in my chair in my desk. I thought of Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life, opens up, it's not about you. I looked back at the blog post, and I thought, man, this ain't about me. This is about the distributors that I happen to be an advocate for. This is about an industry that I have grown to love. This is about a passion of getting up every morning and doing a radio show to help change people's lives when I don't even know how many people are listening at that given moment. But then when I go look and I see the tens of thousands of people that have tuned in or downloaded these radio shows, I realize I may not be anybody except a small vessel doing his purpose in life. But there's nuggets of wisdom going out, and I'm helping to push up people like Dondi Scamanci, Tom Hopp, you know, John Maxwell, Eric Qualman. I love authors. I love to read. Folks, when I grew up, I didn't have a TV, so I learned to read and just engulf that wisdom that I could learn from all this. What's your brand? See, this is the idea. You don't want to look at things as problems. You don't want to look at things as craziness. What you want to do is look at them as negotiations. See, this is the key. Write this stuff down, man. Dondi hits this. There's so much in this book I'm not going to get to because I got to share the rest of the story. But listen, Dondi writes this. This isn't about competing for attention or jockeying for position. We don't have to take the credit or the spotlight from others. It's important that we empower people and highlight the achievements of others. Here it is. The secret is to create those moments for you too. See, if you're helping others and you're not gaining anything from it emotionally, physically, financially, it's draining. You've got to be able to give back. Is there some times when you're going to be pushing people up, you're going to be working for others and they're not going to even under... Yes. I have one situation right now like that. I have a one-year-old grandbaby that I am doing everything in my power to bring home to this family. She's with a beautiful custodian that's taking care of her, but I want her with her family, and her mom and dad right now are incarcerated and can't be with her. And I know that if we can get her, then we can make sure that she can go and see her mom until her mom gets out of prison. She can see her dad when he gets out of prison. This young little girl may never know what we have put into this. The courts may decide that we don't even get to be in her life. There are going to be times when you're going to give sacrificially to others. At the end of the day, it's well worth it. But there's got to be times when you're helping to push people up into win-win situations, and it's got to be win-win-win. Everybody's got to win. Tim Sanders talks about this in Love is the Killer App. It's powerful. The second thing she says is scenarios present examples. They're examples for negotiation. Every one of them, every one that we come across, is an opportunity to negotiate for what we need to be more confident, successful, respected, and satisfied in our brand. Folks, this is key. This is powerful. You've got to be able to do this. You've got to get what she calls get your move on. Listen to this. Brands are forged at an emotional level. They make people feel special. They deliver on a promise, inspire confidence, and signal value. She says, my favorite brands have established that unique, one-of-a-kind impression. I feel special when I use the products or do business with these companies. My wife will tell you the brand catalyst. I mean, it can change my whole focus. I have 10 years worth of CDs, training, iPods, videos, music, relationships. Another brand, a business brand, is Vima by BK Brieco. Not because I'm part of the company, but because BK has spoken to my life in so many different ways to help me become a better person. Some he knows about, some he doesn't, and the trust that we've built has allowed me to really focus on that brand. To help him as a third-party person. Another brand, one of my good new friends, Tom Hopp, the brand Time Out. I mean, I got this all over because I'm always having to take time out. But listen, here's what happens. Zoe sits down and has another conversation. She's stressed, she's frustrated, and she doesn't know what to do. So she gets home, she's glad it's over. And she's sitting there and she talks to Elena. She spills to Elena what had happened to her that day and how she'd gone to the meeting with Allison and everything had been going good and said, you know, I don't know what happened. And as they sat there and they talked, there was a long pause. And Elena says, now that you're talking about ownership, Elena said, today this is your plan and you've encountered resistance. I know that you're looking for a fast win. You want to put an early success on the scoreboard. What if you decided to create the win by creating more winners? How would that change your plan? There was a long pause, and Zoe struggled for an answer. Elena was seeing something that she did not, and Zoe knew her mentor would not rush the process by providing the solution. Suddenly it clicked. Zoe could see and even understand the team's reaction to her plan. She had not included them. She'd carved out a niche, all right, but she had cut deeply into their sense of ownership. Folks, when you put your plan together, that 100-day action plan, you must make sure that you include the whole team. That's the key. She was so excited. She went to work the next day. She added catalyst. I love that word. Okay, I will be a catalyst for results, she said. First person she looked at was Todd. She sat down and said, Todd, I need a minute of your time. She told Todd, I don't want to oversee your work. I don't want to dog your work. What I want to do is I want to know what I can do to help you. And obviously from what I said yesterday, you don't need those things. Please tell me what you need. Instead of answering, Todd said to her, I am sorry I was hard on you yesterday. And Zoe said, yes, you were hard on me, but I needed that. Not only did they sit down with a few minutes, but she went around all the rest of the team. That was the key. See, she kept digging deeper, This is a win for everyone on the team. At the door, Zoe turned and said, Todd, can we agree that you will never call me a new girl again? Folks, this is powerful. You've got to buy the book. Tomorrow, we're on exit signs when you have to go in order to grow. Live life like it's an epic adventure. I will see you tomorrow back here on Radio Free Your Mind. Bye now.